live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, a Donegal man remains in a serious condition in hospital in Australia after being found near Sydney Harbour Bridge in the early hours of yesterday morning. Flood mitigation funding of over €157,000, which was announced for Ballybuffet and Stranorlar last month, has now been received by the County Council. Assurances have been given that Gardaí in Donegal are working on a cross-border basis with the PSNI in a bid to tackle the surge in criminality in Inishowen over recent weeks. And there's condemnation in East Derry following a sectarian attack on St Mary's Chapel in Limavady. Those stories you follow in full plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, flood mitigation funding of over €157,000, which was announced for Ballybuffet and Stranorlar last month, has now been received by the County Council, with works due to begin shortly. The money will be used to improve embankments and clear vegetation and trees along the River Finn. It's also planned to build sumps and pumping areas. Local councillor Martin Harley says this is a positive start, but he says the campaign to have the Twin Towns included in future CFRAMS funding must be intensified. He says there is much more work to be done.
It's not foolproof now, and let's be honest, there'll be further funding needed into the future, but this is, it's good to have it included. There was an announcement of funding earlier in the year, but the letter has come through now officially from the Office of Public Works to the CEO of the council that the funding is in place now to start the works. That's supposed to be completed by November.
For a lot of people, the key issue is the fact that the Twin Towns, Ballybuffet, Stranorlar were omitted from CFRAMS, and the belief really is that if the Twin Towns are to get the level of investment and the level of attention that they need, they're going to have to be brought into the CFRAMS process. Would you agree with that?
Oh, they definitely do, yeah. A lot of the flooding issues that happened in the Twin Towns at the time were from surface water that couldn't get away. So what we asked for at the time was that a pump be put in place that was permanent there, and that could be used, could be, if there was ever problems again, that they could be pumped out. So that's what we'd still be looking for. Other measures as well is to raise the embankment on the upper side of the town as well. That needs to be done as well. We've looked at all these measures. We've had been constant meetings with council officials and all regarding this, and through architects in the town, Carr and Company, have been doing works on that as well. So we have been doing a lot of work on this.
A Donegal man remains in a serious condition in hospital in Australia after being found near Sydney Harbour Bridge in the early hours of yesterday morning. It's believed 21-year-old Sean Dunworth from Remelton suffered head injuries after a fall. Police in Australia are continuing to investigate the circumstances surrounding the incident. His family have flown out to be by his side, and the Department of Foreign Affairs is providing consular assistance. Cathaoirleá of the Letterkenny Municipal District, Councillor Ian McGarvey, is a relative of the young man.
You do know the difficulty and the distances and so on, and the tragedy that has occurred for the young man from Remelton. As you say, his granny would be a first cousin of mine, and I've called there several times since this incident happened, and it's quite challenging for the family and to realise what can happen to a young person who goes abroad and so on. And they get news like they would get. It's a shocking news, even for the community. The community would feel it there too as well. It would be well known within the community. And he's in Australia since January, and unfortunately, whatever happened, he was caught at 4:40 in the morning, apparently, on the Sydney Harbour Bridge, which there's a couple of roads apparently in Tunis, and one of those roads apparently was found at 4:40 in the morning, I believe, by police or such people there. And there's a full investigation going on to establish more or less circumstances of the tragedy that's happened. So what I would like to say in that is this: please God, he'll improve and then be well enough, because I understand at the moment it's critical, and the nurse is sitting at his bedside, and maybe some friends of his from Remelton will be there as well. So, and you can only imagine what they'll meet when they go out there and so on, and you would only hope that they'll be able to cope and there'll be enough support to carry them through as well, because it's something to face into no matter what, leaving Remelton and heading for Australia.
A series of meetings were held yesterday between senior Gardaí, local representatives and residents from South Inishowen over the recent spate of suspicious activity in border areas. Assurances have been given that Gardaí and Donegal are working on a cross-border basis with the PSNI in a bid to tackle the surge in criminality in Inishowen over recent weeks. Catherine Gaffney has more.
It's believed that criminals are operating from bases in Derry City and targeting homes and businesses along the Donegal border from St. Johnston over to Muffin Bridge End. A Sinn Féin delegation met yesterday with senior Gardaí after numerous reports of suspicious activity and break-ins on the peninsula. Donegal Senator Padraig McLaughlin welcomed the engagement between the Gardaí and the local community. However, he says this spate of crime once again instills the need for Garda resources to be increased in Donegal.
We do know that in Garda Síochána need more Gardaí, they need more Garda vehicles, they need more civilians doing the paperwork that frees up Gardaí to be out on the streets. And we know that we need a clear message that there's full cooperation between the PSNI and the Gardaí so that criminals who would be seeing this as an opportunity to target border communities, that they'll be clear that when they're getting away from the scene of the crime, that the Gardaí and the PSNI will work together to close down that route and to bring them to justice.
Meanwhile, members of the Calais community also met with local Gardaí yesterday after numerous reports of a high level of suspicious activity there. Residents were told that Gardaí will be keeping a sharp focus on the area with a view towards catching those responsible. Councillor Paul Canning says local people were left somewhat reassured but are eager to see those behind these crimes brought to justice.
They are very much up to speed with what's going on and they are tracking the movement of certain vehicles and certain people. They are working very, very strong with the PSNI in relation to that whole Calais situation. So we, leaving the meeting, we were assured that he is going to concentrate more on that area and in the short term, just to see what has happened and try to bring these criminals to justice, basically.
Meanwhile, a vehicle believed to have been involved in a burglary in the Newton Cunningham area last week has since been recovered across the border in Derry. Donal Kavanagh has more details.
The silver Mercedes Jeep was stolen from a house in the Lismacarl Road area of Drumahoe. The keys were taken from the property in a creeper-style burglary on Tuesday night last July 24th. Police believe the vehicle was subsequently involved in a burglary in the Newton Cunningham area in the early hours of July 25th. The Jeep was recovered by police in the Lower Gallia Road area of Derry shortly before 6 on Wednesday morning. Detectives are appealing to anyone who witnessed the burglary or anyone who saw the silver-coloured Jeep in the Drumahoe area or Lower Gallia Road area of Derry to contact detectives.
There were 18 people awaiting admission to Letterkenny University Hospital this morning, according to the INMO, 2 on emergency department trolleys. The number is down significantly on yesterday's figure of 35, when the hospital was deemed the most overcrowded in Ireland. Meanwhile, the INMO says overcrowded emergency departments and staffing pressures are putting patients at risk. Tony Fitzpatrick from the INMO says a shortage of nurses means patients aren't getting the care they need.
The levels of overcrowding combined with the fact that we don't have sufficient staff to care for the patients and combined with the fact that the HSE does not have a plan means that patients are at adverse risk due to the present circumstances.
A Foyle MLA whose sister took her own life in 2011 has called for a strategic suicide prevention task force to be established in the Northwest. Mark H. Durkin says figures published by Foyle Search and Rescue and other organisations show the extent of the problem in Derry City and the wider region. Speaking on today's 9 till noon show, Mr. Durkin confirmed that he has written to senior government officials calling for such a task force to be set up, as he says no one is immune to poor mental health.
Currently there are a lot of groups and a lot of individuals working very hard on this issue, but my call for sort of high-level strategic suicide prevention task force would, I believe, bring all these bodies together, hopefully resource those who are doing the work adequately and ultimately save lives.
Do we have statistics to prove the particularly high rates in this part of the world? Because it certainly feels that way, Mark.
To be fair, I don't have the statistics from last year, but over a number of years, this has become an increased problem. It's not exclusive to the Northwest. However, fair to say that it has been particularly pronounced here. People talk about the socio-economic conditions here, particularly in the city where you have high unemployment, areas of deprivation. Studies right across the world will show huge links between that and the rate of suicide in particular areas. But that's not to say that all the suicides are linked to that. There doesn't seem to be a clear profile as such. No one is immune to poor mental health. That's what makes it really so difficult to tackle, I think. No one knows the battles that other individuals are fighting.
There's been calls for the Taoiseach to live up to his promises to the woman affected by cervical check scandal. The Iradkar said none of them would have to appear in court, but yesterday clarified his remarks, saying they have a right to go through the legal system. The Taoiseach called for as many cases as possible to be settled through mediation. Mary Lou McDonald says there needs to be assurances that will happen.
The important thing is now that those commitments are met. I understand there are some 49 cases lined up for court. The government commitment was for mediation. Now the Taoiseach needs to make good on that. That needs to happen. No delays, no half-hearted efforts, but proper, genuine, goodwill, good faith mediation.
There's condemnation in East Derry following a sectarian attack on St Mary's Chapel in Limavady. Overnight, a loyalist graffiti was daubed on the walls and doors of the chapel. Meanwhile, in a separate incident, it's reported the Northwest Regional College Limavady campus was the subject of an arson attack when two vehicles, one of which is owned by the college, were set alight. East Derry MLA Kiva Archibald is calling on unionist representatives to show leadership in a bid to bring tensions in the area to an end.
Overnight, loyalist paramilitary graffiti was daubed on St Mary's Chapel in Limavady. And there was also two cars burned out on the Greystone Road campus of Northwest Regional College. And obviously I would condemn both of these attacks. The attack on St Mary's Chapel where we saw the graffiti is clearly sectarian vandalism. It's first and foremost a sectarian hate crime, and we would like to see those responsible brought to task. I would urge anyone with any information on either of these incidents to contact the local PSNI.
And obviously at this stage we don't know any details if they're connected, but it is worrying that this type of behaviour is taking place.
Well, local people and parishioners of St Mary's Parish in Limavady they're angry and disgusted at these disgraceful attacks. We have seen an increase over recent weeks in the number of flags and painting of curbs in the Limavady area, and we've been contacted by many people in relation to this who are very concerned and see it as intimidatory. So this is a concerning escalation, I suppose, of that, and I would very strongly urge all of those who have leadership roles in the community and who are elected representatives to show leadership to reduce tensions and call on those who are involved in these actions to desist.
Highland Sports, sponsored by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny, where their big annual birthday sale starts 32nd at 9 a.m.
It's now 14 minutes past five and time for the latest sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. Starting with badminton, and Chloe and Sam McGee bowed out of the World Badminton Championships in Nanjing, China this morning. Their faux pair lost their second round mixed doubles match to the 14th seeds from Taipei, Wang and Lee. It was in straight sets, 21-11, 21-15. The McGees had won their opening game yesterday, beating Norwegians Christensen and Jorgensen. Gaelic Games, Donegal's All-Ireland Senior Ladies Quarter-Final against Armagh has been fixed for Healy Park and Oma for this weekend. Saturday's game will throw in at 4 o'clock. Donegal reached the last eight by topping their group with wins over Kerry and Tipperary. Armagh, they moved into the knockout stages as runners-up in their group. The games are a repeat of this year's Ulster Final, which Donegal won by 28 points. And Donegal forward Patrick McBertie, he'll be part of a star-studded panel assembled for a special up for the match in Jackson's Hotel on Sunday afternoon before the Super 8 sellout tie between Donegal and Tyrone McCool Park. The event, which gets underway at 12 noon, has been organised by the recently formed Donegal GAA Training Fund Committee. McBurdy underwent surgery last Friday on a cruciate knee ligament injury. We'll be joined on the panel by Donegal's Anthony Molloy and Colin McFadden, Tyrone's John Lynch and Brian McGuigan, and Armagh's Oisin McConville. Admission is €10 payable at the door, with under-18s free. The event is expected to be wrapped up by 2 o'clock. On the pitch tonight, there's action in the Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Senior Hurling Championship. Satanta, they play McCool's, and Bort, they host St Union's. Both those games get underway at 7 o'clock. Moving on to soccer, and later this evening, the Republic of Ireland's cerebral palsy side will play the hosts, the Netherlands, in their first their final group game of the 2018 AFCPF European Championships. Both sides are unbeaten going into the game, and both have already qualified for the semi-finals. Ireland have scored 17 goals in 3 games, with wins over Germany, Northern Ireland and Denmark. Donegal's Oisin Merritt is set to feature again for Ireland today.
So the Netherlands will be our toughest game, without a doubt. Again, they've gone the whole group undefeated as well. So it's the clash of the zeros to see who tops the group. But the Netherlands will be a very big task now. But we see ourselves as a very good side, technically. So we should be on par, and if not, have the edge. So it's kind of, it's ours to lose at this stage.
The FAI will now fully finance a last resort emergency fund for struggling League of Ireland clubs. Last week, the FAI had proposed that the Players Association would put up half of the €300,000 in the escrow account, but the PFAI will not be asked to contribute. The PFAI last week reacted angrily to their proposal, claiming they hadn't been consulted by the FAI. Should a troubled club need to avail of the fund to pay their players, they'll be docked 6 points and hit with a player registration ban. In other news, winger Patrick Kavanagh has become the latest player to leave Bohemians in the transfer window. The 32-year-old has been at Dalymount since November 2013. It's expected Kavanagh will now sign for Shelburne. Dylan Watts, Fully Gannon and Carol Moore have all departed Bowes this summer. And Sue Ronan is back in international football. The former Republic of Ireland women's head coach has been appointed the new Ireland under-16s coach. Ronan stepped down as senior manager in 2016 after 6 years in charge. Cross-channel Tottenham boss Mauricio Pochettino believes the timing of the Premier League transfer window will put English clubs at a disadvantage in Europe. Top flight sides in England won't be able to make any more signings until January, once it closes a week on Thursday. But teams outside of England can still buy players from the Premier League up until the end of August. Pochettino says it doesn't make sense.
Because after you are going to compete in Europe, you are going to compete in Champions League, and I think to have 20 days less, I think it's not a thing that is going to help.
Manchester United's new goalkeeper Lee Grant says boss Jose Mourinho has been very different in private on their pre-season tour of the USA. Mourinho's publicly criticised the worth of the trip and the attitude of some of the players. He's also revealed his frustrations with the club's transfer policy, but Grant said United manager's been much more positive around the squad. And Chelsea, they appear to have missed out on one of their summer transfer targets. It's understood Juventus striker Gonzalo Higuain has agreed a move to fellow Italian side AC Milan on loan. The Argentina international has been linked with a move to Stamford Bridge. In hockey, Ireland's women's side will discover their World Cup quarter-final opponents this evening. India face Italy for the right to face Graham Shaw's side in the last 8 on Thursday. Ireland already beat India 1-0 in the pool stages, while the last outing saw the Italians saw them trounced 12-1 by the Netherlands. That game gets underway tonight at 6 o'clock. Following that match, hosts England. They face South Korea, with the winners set to take on the Dutch in the quarter-finals. In rugby, Scotland head coach Gregor Townsend has extended his contract until 2021. His backroom staff of Matt Taylor and Mike Blair have also agreed new deals. And finally for this evening in horse racing, the Colm Quinn BMW Mile Handicap is the feature race on day 2 of the Galway Festival. The Jair Lyons trained Inscribe is set to go off as favourite. That one's off at 20-8 this evening. The first race is just about to get underway. And elsewhere, the 5-4 on favourite Stradivarius has won the feature race on the opening day of Glorious Goodwood. The 4-year-old colt was made to work for its victory, edging out Jessica Harrington's trained Torsador by just half a length in the Group 1 Qatar Goodwood Cup Stakes. That's all your sport for this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. Detectives are continuing to appeal for witnesses following a shooting incident in the Seven Oaks area of Derry on Tuesday last July the 24th. A 50-year-old man has been charged with attempted murder, but police have stressed investigations are ongoing. A number of shots were fired in the area shortly after 7 a.m. A silver Peugeot that was rammed into a black car was then found burnt out at Lincoln Court. Police say they aren't particularly keen to hear from any taxi drivers or motorists who may have dashcam or mobile phone footage of the incident. A Donegal organisation which supports all parents of persons with autism, irrespective of age, has received an offer of financial support from the HSE. The Buncrana-based charity iCare has been awarded grant aid of €35,000. iCare promotes improved treatment, education, welfare and acceptance for children with autism. Their chair, Angela Turish, says while the funding will keep them afloat in the short term, more will be needed to secure the organisation's future going forward.
We're so delighted. And hopefully we're really hoping that it'll lead to secure funding for 2019. We're in the process of finishing a service level agreement application for 2019, so we're hoping that will be successful as well. This funding that we receive will help us to run our day-to-day activities in our centre and cater for our children during the summer and holiday time. So it's much, much needed funding.
But obviously you would be looking for more funding down the line. This is very much a short-term solution.
This will probably do us till the end of November. Hopefully it will stretch it out to the end of the year. But I really hope we'll not be in the same situation come January, because we're all exhausted with this campaigning and it really takes its toll. You're coping with a child or children with disabilities in your home and really you don't have the energy to cope with other extra stresses, really. And this has been a huge stress on everyone involved campaigning for us to get some funding. It's just a pity that we have to go through all that. I think really the government needs to step up to the mark and cater for all our children and young people with disabilities and focus on what they're able to do, their abilities, and invest some money in them because they deserve it. They're entitled to it, and their parents deserve more as well. It's just so hard to accept that we're left out of funding and we have to fight for everything.
Senator Joan Freeman says if she's elected president, she'll set up a national assembly on the well-being of the country. She's addressing Waterford Council today, aiming to secure its nomination to run for president. Hopefuls Gavin Duffy and Patrick Feeney will also pitch to the council today. Senator Freeman, who's the founder of suicide charity Pieta House, says she hopes to start a conversation about Ireland's well-being.
I know that the role of the president is above policy making, but is not above the role of principle. If the Irish people elect me in the first 6 months of presidency, I will create a national assembly on the well-being of our country with some of the key stakeholders.
For weather now, cloudy this evening with outbreaks of rain and drizzle, some prolonged. Tonight will remain mainly cloudy with some rain or drizzle and lowest temperatures of 10 to 12 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, a Donegal man remains in a serious condition in hospital in Australia after being found near Sydney Harbour Bridge in the early hours of yesterday morning. It's believed 21-year-old Sean Dunworth from Remelton suffered head injuries after a fall. Flood mitigation funding of over €157,000, which was announced for Ballybofey and Stranorter last month, has now been received by the County Council, with works due to begin shortly. The money will be used to improve embankments and clear vegetation and trees along the River Finn. There's also plans to build sumps and pumping areas. A Foyle MLA, whose sister took her own life in 2011, has called for a strategic suicide prevention task force to be established in the northwest. Mark H. Durkin says figures published by Foyle Search and Rescue and other organisations show the extent of the problem in Derry City and the wider region. And there's condemnation in East Derry following a sectarian attack on St Mary's Chapel in Limavady. Overnight, loyalist graffiti was daubed on the walls and doors of the building. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Tuesday evening, the 31st of July. The death has occurred of Joe Quinn, 57, Dr. McGinley Road, Glencar, Letterkenny, formerly of Castlebar, County Mayo. Joe's remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning to St. Eunan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, for Requiem Mass at 10 o'clock. Burial afterwards in the family plot in Conwell Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desire to the Friends of Letterkenny University Hospital, care of Pascal Blake, funeral director. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. The death has occurred of Sue Kerrigan, 34, Money Road, Garvita, Castledurg. Sue's remains are reposing at her late home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 20 past 11 for Requiem Mass at 12 noon in St. Francis of Assisi Church, Drumna Bay. Interment afterwards in St. Mary's Cemetery, Cairncorn. The death has taken place of Annie Murphy, Conlon, Killybegs. Her remains are reposing at her residence. Removal this evening at 6:30 to St. Mary's Church, Killybegs, for 7 o'clock. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 11 with burial afterwards in the local cemetery. The death has taken place of Kathleen McDermott, Carrorea Road, Carndonna. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30 to the Church of the Sacred Heart, Carndonna, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. House private, please, from 10 p.m. to 10 a.m. The death has taken place of Emmett McGee, Gorchin North, Ballandrate, Lifford. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:20 for Requiem Mass in St. Patrick's Church, Murlock, Lifford, at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Pieta House, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight. The death has taken place of Tessie Doherty, Nae McGee, Liz McKelly, Buncrana. Her remains are reposing at her residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:20, going to St. Mary's Church, Cock Hill, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 10 a.m. The death has taken place of Joan Miles Gallagher, Carrick, Carrigart. Her remains are reposing at her son Miles's home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning to the Church of St. John the Baptist, Carrigart, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Odyssey Donal Milford, care of any family member. And the death has taken place of Robert McBrearty, Legnathraw, St. Johnson. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:15 for Requiem Mass in St. Bathan's Church, St. Johnson, at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to ICU, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight.